comments or racks you, please call KO4NUV.
Zeus, Chad, AGE, you know, get you up. It's more contagious than COVID. Hitting 0 TR.
You're right. But, Anna, we always have a cup of coffee in the morning, Tom, and, boy, she came in here twice and said, finally, second time, she said, you gonna get out of bed or what's going on? I was like, honey, I can't hardly move. Just don't, you know, just, Lord have mercy, just so sore. But it took me a while, but I got loosened up, but it was not fun.
I don't know what to tell you. I just drink more beer or something. I guess that won't work either because you're like me and you don't drink. What do you think, Bernice? Eat more Bernice's goodies. That's what it is.
I can do that. Not a problem there. All right. Let me get on, bud. And y'all have a nice evening. And nice talking to you. And when your grandson wants a little more help, send him on out here. I think I gave him just enough to maybe keep his interest up a little bit. I'm interested to see what he says when he's trying to walk that beat to that chalk line or that soapstone line. That's going to change things up for him a little bit, right?
It's like they do on the news media just before they go to commercial. They put out a tease. So that's what you're doing with him.
I do with the younger ones, you know. You got, what's he talking about? What's he mean by that? Let me go see what he's saying. So it's going to be a good sign when he comes to you and says, hey, Papa, I burnt the welding machine up. I need another one. So that's a good sign. You're gonna have to support him.
My credit card the other day, and he called from Harbor Freight, which you warned him about that. But this was before you did. And he says, hey, they got a welder on sale for $600, and it's $100 off. And Amy told him, you do that, you're going to be moving out real soon.
All right. Well, he's well on his way. He's well on his way. He's got his interest up, and he's figured out that, you know, when you have the power to control metal in liquid form, that's usually the ones that get it. They, you know, it's like it's like ham radio. If you get it, you get it. If you don't, then you just breeze right on by. But I think I could see it in his eye. He was listening to everything I said, and he handles his hands very well. So I think he's going to be a good fit. But if you get him to master that buzz box first, then, you know, we'll see. I'm anxious to see where this goes, Tom.
Roger, sure appreciate it, Chad. Hey, I was going to tell you, when I lost my train of thought there a while ago, the finest grounding system I've ever seen, other than maybe K4SV or Bob, he came down and helped ND7J out, I think, on his. But the finest I ever seen, and one of the most knowledgeable people I've ever known, is N4IQ Bill. And if you get a chance to go down there and look at that in his shack, you ain't gonna have no problems with RF.
Well, I just, first lesson I learned today with the Ugly's manual, the Ugly's book I got, was how expensive it's gonna be, and I did some figuring, which I'm not complaining. Now that I got the book, I can see. So I got 80 feet. I gotta move to mains, and kind of changes things a little bit. And I know what size conductor I need to use. And I know, you know, I know kind of roughly where my limits are on amperage. And I'm well within those, well below them. But I'm going to try to get all I can. But it's going to be a little bit pricey, but I don't have a choice at this point.
Are you going to run from the house over to the shack? I seen it over there in Perry that the cat out of the bag. You said Dad's working on his ham shack. I recommend the THHN wire. It's really good, Chad. And it's got a 105-degree rise above the ambient. And you can pull more of them in a given size conduit. It's got a real slick finish to it. And out there where you're at, for the most part at that range, I'd say a number 6 is probably getting into the category you're looking at, but I'm just going off the top of my head.
By the drop on the chart in the Uglies book, it's number 6. It depends on the, you know, depends on the wire, I guess, or, you know, what type of wire it is. But it's number 6. And you know, I'm thinking if I stick with what's in the book, I'll be okay. But I'm trying to resist the urge to drop down a size and go to a number 4. But my goodness at the price difference. My gosh, Tom.
Well, that's kind of a misnomer. You're going up in size. But, yeah, that, I looked at a box of 12.3 with ground down there the other day. They didn't have any 12.2 with ground, but I saw it the other day, and I always keep a box of that around. The last box I bought was $59, Chad. It was $160. I always say, thank you, Joe. But at any rate, that 12.3 with ground was like $289 for a 250-foot box of it. Just ridiculous. You can go with underground feeder cable, but that would be really expensive. I just put conduit, and then I think it's a 100-foot fish tape here if you need one, and you're welcome to use it anytime you want it. And I don't hardly ever use it anymore. But yeah, it's that's a pretty good drop. I don't think you'd need that much. I'd have to look at the amperage on my amp. About the only thing you'd have that would pull any current might be the if you put an amplifier in. But that's, you're dividing that into two phases, you know, with 240 volts. So it's so many amps per phase. And I don't think you'd have a problem out there. I mean, you're not going out there and hook up a welder or something. It's N0TR.
Well, I've got an air conditioner that I'm gonna deal with. I gotta go up to deer camp and see what it pulls. I'm assuming startup's gonna be pretty rough, but once I get past startup, I can probably deal with just what's running. I'm okay with what I've calculated so far. I did put me a 220 drop in. Someday I'm gonna be able to get me an amplifier. And I just went ahead and run the drop for it. And got my outlets on near the floor, and then I got outlets up high too over my workbench that I'm gonna put in. So I think I got it laid out pretty well. I'm getting at a point where it's just, I'm getting bogged down with, you know, I have to take my time. Got all my outlets wired up and then checked them with an ohm meter. Make sure, you know, I didn't have any shorts or, you know, between the hot ground and neutral and all that. So far, so good. I may have to call you in a day or so. I'm going to have to wire in a traveler for the lights, and I'm I'm not too good with a traveler. I'm going to have to figure that out. But I know I can come talk to you about it. You can help me with it.
Well, I guess I can figure out what that is. I'm not sure. I never heard it called that before, traveler. But you want to be careful. You don't want to put an infrared heater in there or something. The walls will be sweating off, or I don't know what you're thinking of. I think a window heat pump, and I don't know what the dimensions of your shack is there. But it didn't look all that big. But you can go oversized, and it'll cause you problems. And there's Dave on here. He's real smart on HVAC. And there's such a thing as going over. You know, like I got a 3-ton air conditioner on the house, let's say. If I put a 5-ton on there, you'd think, well, that's really good. No, not so. There's calculations that can be made on that, Chad. But, you know, these little motels and stuff in the old days, and that they had, and still do, I guess, a lot of window heat pumps.
That's kind of what I'm looking at, KO4NUE with N0TR. As far as the traveler goes, what I'm calling a traveler is two light switches in separate locations. There's an additional wire in there, usually the red wire, and I've always heard it called a traveler circuit, but I'm gonna have to figure that out.
What I used on those, that's a three-way switch, Chad, and I think I used 14-3 with ground, because there is an extra wire in there. But when you finally get over to the light, I think you wind up with 10 wires in there. You got two travelers, and I have scratched my head. I haven't put one in a long time, but yes, I can do that. But and then they even had a four-way switch where you can do it from three different places. I don't know why a three-way switch, you operate from two places. But that can get dicey. The guys that do it all the time, it's like falling off a log. But I know how it's done. In fact, my son-in-law, you know, he's an engineer, but he went in Amy's office the other day and changed something. I don't know what. But anyways, they called me, and I went down there. And he had put one of those wires in the wrong place. And when you went into Amy's office there, if you turned the light switch on, it turned the light on in the bathroom.
Oh, I can't wait to see him. Oh, I'm going to give him a hard time, especially all the talk we had about engineers while he was here.
Always working on machine tools, we always said, well, yeah, they designed it, and boy, that's neat the way it works, but they're not the ones that have to work on it, and boy, that really made a big, boy, you really were cussing the engineers at times before the way they designed things, but c'est la vie. But yeah, he did, he put on the wrong one. I think what he done, as I remember now, when it breaks, he put a three-way switch in where there was a single pole on one side of it. I don't really remember. It was just dead wrong. But that was funny. If you went into the bathroom, you had to step into Amy's office and turn the switch on.
What Amy say to him?
Her favorite saying is, the other day he wanted, he's got a lot of rechargeable batteries for his power tools out there. And he said, it can't be done. And she sent me a little plaque and it said, girl power. Because Amy went out there and she designed it and built it all.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, listen, bud, let me get on. And tell Miss Bernice I'll bring her casserole holder back in a couple of days. I wanted to call you today, but I had a guy from the club come out and visited with me for a while, and we like I said, I was sore. We just sat out there in the shade for a little bit and talked for a little while. And he's electrical engineer, and so we were talking about grounding systems and this, that, and the other today, but just kind of enjoyed his company in the afternoon. But, you know, I feel rested up. I'm not as sore as I was this morning, so I'll get back at it tomorrow and dig off in it, I guess.
I'll be glad to come out there and give you a few pointers, Chad. And I haven't done it in so long. It'll be interesting. And but it's always good to gather all the information you can from all the people you can and then make your own summation as to what you want to do. Because you know what you need, that's for sure. Well, I enjoyed it. It's as long as I've been on the net in many a year. Take care, Chad. KO4NUE. And Bernice said hi. 73, this is N0TR.
You have a nice night, sir. All right, any additional stations before I close down? Any additional stations that would like to check in or rack to you, please call KO4NUE.
Late as always, if you will, sir, please check in Alpha Kilo 4 Hotel Romeo. Came in while you and Tom were there chewing the fat, so good to hear you on the net tonight. If you will, just check me in, no traffic, no comments. 73, to you and everyone on the net.
I'll have you in the log, AK4HR. And Mike, while I got you here, I'm going to be bringing two down for testing on Saturday. I don't know if you're going to be there or not. But I'll be bringing two with me for upgrades. You got any information on testing?
Report. I mean, again, we plan every third Saturday. Again, we start in there at 8:30, so between 8:30 and 9. Again, if they can bring a copy of their printed license, that normally helps us. Again, they have to get an official copy if they're going to print it out instead of the reference copy, but they can get the instructions on how to do that on the FCC website. But no change as far as I'm aware. Again, this is third Saturday, right?
So a copy of the official license, driver's license, and what's the fee?
$5, so.
I've got one coming in for upgrade from tech to general and from Miss Ann, she's one of our female net controllers. She's going from general to extra class.
Back to get anybody in there for testing we can. Again, it's kind of a unique experience. Again, we've been doing it for a couple years, or I've been doing it for a couple years, and you know, a couple other of the VEs been down there, and we very rarely have a Saturday where there's less than one or two people. I think I could count maybe two. 2 days in the years we've been doing it, even through COVID, we had a couple of test sessions over there, and we always have people over there to come and test. So, always good to see folks that are ready to come and you know join our hobby, our upgrade in our hobby, and expand their capabilities.
Okay, well, appreciate the info, Mike, and I'll see you Saturday morning. But all right, any additional stations, Alpha 3 Zulu for RAC 2 or check in, please call KO4NUE.
NUE KO4 ZYX.
Go ahead, bud.
Hey, I'm still just down here monitoring that testing session. I was supposed to go test at Spartanburg last night to upgrade for general, but I just haven't, with everything else I've got going on, I hadn't had the time. I hear, is that every third Saturday of the month? And where's that location? Over.
That's every third Saturday at the Red Cross building in downtown Greenville. You'd be there about 8:30. And, you know, take your exam.
One more quick question. Is this year the year general question pool changes up in June like the technician did last year? Over.
Mike, you still in there? AK4HR, KO4NUE.
You're supposed supposed to get an upgraded question pool. I was actually looking at the same time. I know it's coming soon, but I don't think we've gone to the new question pool. I think it's in July, but I'm looking real quick to make sure. I don't think we're using the new pool as of yet.
That answer your question, bud?
It is, so looks like I'm going to continue pressing on and cramming on the current question pool that we have, and hopefully I'll punch that general ticket before July. I wish I could have went to the Spartanburg Club last night, but I just mentally wasn't ready for it. I wasn't going to go and waste the VE's time just knowing that I was bombing. But I do appreciate it. This is KO4ZYX. I will be clear.
There's a fair amount of stress that comes with that, but it's a relief when you get through it, you know. But anyway, keep chucking them out, and you have a good night, and we'll talk with you later. All right, I'll make one more call. Any additional stations, Alpha 3 Zulu, any station for RACTU, please call KO4NUE.
WD8RON.
Go ahead, Ed.
One, how's your son doing? And the other is, what kind of ground are you planning for your shack, over?
First question is, Perry's doing good in shop. He's covered up. The company's doing welding for. They called him today and told him that they've got two welders at the plant that are going to be going in for surgery. They're going to be out for 6 or 8 weeks. So they're going to bump his hours up. So it's 10, 15 after 10. He just left the shop, headed back to the house. So he's, you know, just as fast as that thing will weld, he's, you know, spitting them out. And he's, you know, I went down there today looking around. He's got a little welding bench set up. I mean, he's made him a little arm prop to hold his arm, and you know, he's getting in the groove. You know, Papa calls it getting lazy, but you know, whatever it takes, you know, he's getting it.
He had some kind of allergy breaking out. I wonder how that's doing, over.
What we found was he had a hole in one of his gloves, and some of the cleaner that he was using was getting in his glove, and you know, broke out pretty bad. It was an allergic reaction. It wasn't a burn or anything. I gave him some medication, and it's starting to go away, but he's having a hard time figuring out. You know, you wear more rubber gloves, your hands get sweaty, you can't tell if it's, you know, sweat or what. But we got it figured out, and you know, he's back on track. But as far as the grounding goes, that's much debate right now. I've got to figure out what I'm going to do. There's a lot of ways to do that, and I'm not sure exactly what's right, but I'll do a little research when I get to that point and get it figured out, I guess.
Say star ground, over.
That's when we set up communication rigs. That's all we used was a star ground. I just got to figure out where I'm going to put that and how I'm going to get it in the ground and what all that looks like. You know, you get an image of something in your mind, that's one thing, but when you're out there slinging the hammer, that's, you know, that's that's a little bit different.
Like that here. I have a ground rod right outside of the shack, and then I run a line to a separate, I'm using 8-foot copper-clad rods, and then one about 10 feet away, and then another about another 10 feet away, so I've got two of them. It's not exactly a star, but it's similar. Over.
Well, that's kind of what I'm gonna try to figure out. I'm trying to figure out a way that I can get those in the ground with, as far as I can with the Bobcat. There's, you know, different size ground rods, but I'm thinking 8 or 10 foot, and I'm hoping I can get those in the ground pretty quick with the Bobcat. I'm just going to have to make me a coupler or something to go on a bucket that I can, you know, kind of push down without bending the thing. But if I get it in there 4 or 5 feet, that's 4 or 5 feet. I ain't got to sling a hammer, you know what I mean?
You're exactly what I was going to run into, but I used a small sledge and had no problem driving him in. Although it's probably clay here, I don't know what kind of soil you have. In Nam, we had the engineers use the biggest auger they had to drill a hole next to our station. We filled it with scrap metal, put in a water pipe, put salt in with the metal. We had the best signal going out of country. Over.
Interesting. When we were in Iraq, we'd put our star grounds in, and because we were, you know, kind of mobile, the ground rods were typically expendable, you know, because you get them in the ground, it's hard to get them out. So it just issue, you know, bundles of ground rods, and then we'd dig a hole about a foot deep, and then drive the ground rod below the surface of the earth, so you couldn't trip on it when you walked. And then they would issue bags of pellet salt, and we'd throw a gallon or two of salt in on top of that, and run a hose from the air conditioner drain to keep, you know, keep soil points wet, like so dry in the desert. But it's interesting you say that, because we'd start losing, we'd start getting some high noise levels on some of the tropo stuff, and we finally figured out that if we kept the ground points wet as we could, we'd stay out of trouble. So, you know, there's a lot to that. But I don't think we have a problem with that here. It's the ground stays so damp all the time. But that's, you know, you're right. That makes a difference.
Fixed station, so we didn't have quite the same problem with the auger hole. That was a fixed station setup. I don't know how deep the hole was, but it worked pretty good. The other thing we found was to ground the power supply. We were using engineer power and got a lot of noise on the signals. We switched over to our own generators and grounded them very well and got rid of all the noise. So you might also want to look at your ground for your power supply. Over.
That's what I was saying when the net started. I'm at a point now where I'm starting to get a little bit overwhelmed because, you know, the bulk of the construction, the heavy stuff is done. Now it's just kind of details. So I get the details of construction worked out. Things are going to slow down even more because some of this stuff I've got to refresh my mind, and I've got to, some of it I'm going to have to learn. So I suspect, you know, trying to get all of that power situation straight, it's going, you know, it's eat up a lot of time. But some of that I'll have to build into the construction of the tables or the benches or whatnot. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking. The other thing is, Ed, I'm thinking about doing a patch panel. everything we did with the radio gear was with a patch panel. We didn't have RF switches. You know, if you had all your radios and had a patch panel with connectors on the patch panel, and you just, you know, you just put a jumper in on the coax to hook in what radio to what antenna you wanted. And, I mean, it takes up a little bit of space, but it's pretty effective. And I'm thinking I think I'm going to go that route with it. I just kind of look the way that looks, and it's pretty simple. I don't have to worry about, you know, switches being damaged or whatnot. I'll just change a patch out. What do you think?
Comments yet?
I got you, Tom. Hang on 1 second. Go ahead, Ed.
Site I sent you for the metalworks for how he does boxes. Basically, it's a patch panel that's on the outside of the wall, and then I've got a 2-inch PVC pipe coming through the wall, and I've got separate cables from my radio to that panel, and then the antenna cables go to there with some lightning arresters. So that's pretty good. The other thing is what I mentioned before, build your shack so you can get to the back of the radios without standing on your head, because that'll make it a whole lot easier hooking things up. Over.
Yeah, roger that. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, just real quick, very interesting, you guys, this conversation. W4FHJ has a ground rod driver, sort of like an impact gun, but much, much better, and you know Gene real well. And that's all I wanted to say, Chad, in general to you.
All right, I got his number. I'll give him a holler. Because, like I said, those things will just absolutely suck the life out of you trying to get them in the ground. So, work smarter, not harder, right?
He offered to let me use it a long time ago. I didn't have to, but, oh, those things are killers to get in the ground. And you guys go ahead and drill just.
Let me make sure I got it. Time I was up there, I saw the entrance panel you had hooked into, you'd put on the outside of the house, and I remember looking at it and thinking, man, that's a work of art. I mean, solid copper. I mean, it looked really nice. And I saw all of the SO239 connectors in there, and I wondered if that's what was happening, if that was going to be you know, a rudimentary patch panel of some sort. But I'm struggling with SO239 and PL259. We used to getting into patches, you start in putting some, you know, some higher impedance in there, and I don't know. I don't know. I don't know whether to use the B and C's, and then you run into, okay, well, how much power can a B and C handle? Then, well, maybe I need to move to end connectors. There's so much to think about that I'm not there yet, and I can't, my mind has to, I have to deal with what I'm dealing with right now and try to forward think a little bit. Or I just get bogged down, and I just, you know, I guess my mind's just simple like that. I can't do 10 things at once. I got to focus on what's at hand.
So, again, for that site, he's got a lot of other stuff, a lot of places to have it. But the connector, I would be calling it a barrel connector. I'm not sure if that's the right term, where you can put a 259 on each end of it, and that's a connector. You lose a little bit, but I don't think you lose enough to be a big problem, and it lets you very quickly change cables from both ends. With a patch panel, I'm not sure what you're envisioning as far as the connectors. If you've got something like a phone, a patch panel where you plug in things, I would probably want to stay away from that, because I think they would be looser than the 259s. Over.
You get it this way. I understand what you're saying about having the radios away from the wall. I get what you're saying. But what I've got is a 16 by 12, and space is a premium. So what I'm going to do is just have a workbench or a radio bench, and I'm gonna push the radios up against the wall and have a patch panel off to the side, and I'll run some RF cable to the back side of the patch panel. And put all my radios on connectors on one at the bottom of the patch panel, and then put all of my connectors for the antennas up top. That way I can, you know, if I want to run the 991 on this antenna, I can, you know, unpatch and move between antennas and move between radios. I can also, you know, listen and monitor on, you know, just a lot of possibilities there. Some of it you just can't do with a switch. But I gotta figure the connectors out and figure out exactly what I'm gonna do about that.
Yeah, a switch, a rotor switch, and I've got, let's see, it's got a ground connection, one for the radio, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 for, I could put 4 antennas on it if I want to, or a dummy load and 3 antennas. So right now I can switch back and forth between my dipole and my delta loop just by flipping the switch. And then when I turn the radios off, I go to ground. So there's some protection there. But that's worked out very well. I've used those in other setups, some with only 2 terminals, if you will. But this one I had before, and it's worked out very well. And that you'll also see in the catalogs. Over.
This is KO4NUE with WD8RON. So I don't know how many switches I've gone through here. It just seems like they'll work fine for a while, and then either my SWR jumps up too high, or they just leaky. I don't know what else to say. I've got 1 Alpha Delta that was an expensive switch, and it works really well. But I mean, like I said, they're pretty expensive, and I've learned my lesson with switches. So it's not that I don't like the switches. I'm not saying that. It's just I don't know. I just like the feel of a patch panel and how it looks and functions. I can understand that, you know. Sometimes I get lost in all the switches here. I got this switch controls radios, and then this switch controls antennas. It just, you know, it gets troublesome sometimes. So if I can just take a patch and patch it in, that's, in my mind, that's pretty simple.
Listen, a while back from one of the guys in the club here, he's got all kinds of cables that go from a radio to another radio to whatever, and they're all different. He said as soon as you get a cable to mark it so you know what it goes to, because you can have 2 cables that look identical, but they've got a chip in them and they're not identical. Over.
You're exactly right. So, like I said, I'm thinking I'm going to end up with N-type connectors, but I tell you, that just, you know, it's just nothing like a BNC. I mean, it just kind of snaps. It snaps right in there. And from what research I've been able to do, you know, there's no impedance bump with those, but I just got to figure out, you know, how much wattage those will handle, and I don't know. It's just, like I said, there's a lot to think about.
I'm using 100 watts, so I'm not sure what would happen if I kicked it up to 1,000 over.
Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's not anything I need to be concerned about. I guess what I'm saying is I just don't know. I got to educate myself. So, and that's part of the enjoyment, right, is, you know, learning, and that way, you know, if I can see it in the book somewhere and actually, you know, run some kind of calculation or whatever, you know, that's beneficial to me. So next time I encounter that, I know what to do. But, you know, I try to learn as much as I can, because I try to help other people as much as I can. And if you don't know what you're doing with radios, you just best keep your mouth shut, because you do some damage if you ain't careful. So just trying to educate myself, that's all.
CD, the other night, a woman was talking about there are things you know you don't know, and there are things you don't know, but the big thing is you don't know what you don't know. You might talk to the wiremen. They're down near where you are. They've been pretty good about working with me. You might bounce off some ideas that you have on design and see what they say as far as changes or avoiding problems. I always ask people, what should I not do? And that generally leads into what you should do. But if you ask for advice, I call it negative advice. If you ask somebody, what should I do? They're going to be reluctant to tell you. Because if you do it and it doesn't work out, then you can blame them. But if you say, what should I not do? And you go ahead and do it, they can say, well, that's what I told you. Over.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I have to remember that. Next time somebody asks me, I'll say, well, not my place to say. It's your money, your equipment. But I'll tell you what not to do. That's good. I'll have to remember that, Ed.
And a few times. The other is what I call my blind question. Like when you're buying a house or a tractor, what question should I ask that I have not asked? Over.
I guess that depends on who you ask. If you're asking the salesman, they probably tell you one thing, but somebody else probably tell you another. But anyway, Ed, I got your email. I'm gonna check it out. It won't be tonight, but I'm getting close to where I'm ready to start answering some of those questions. I noticed today that I had to do the first cleanup inside the ham shack, sweep up all the, you know, wire and things like that. So that's a good sign, you know, when you have to start cleaning up your mess so you can move on to the next step. That's always a good sign. So I figure I got two or three or more of those cleanups to do, and I can start focusing on, you know, the enjoyment part of it, which is the electronic side. So kind of looking forward to that. And but I got to get it habitable first.
Counters in. I told the electricians I want to be able to stand anywhere along the counter and be able to reach a plug. That doesn't mean I'm going to plug everything in at the same time, but if I have a coffee pot or a toaster or something like that I want to plug in, I want to be able to plug it no matter where I'm standing. So I've got lots of plugs, and that's something you might consider in laying out your wiring plan, to have plenty of extra receptacles, because the odds are you're going to need them. Over.
It's funny you say that. So, you know, the one of the guys that came over for a visit today, the first thing he noticed was, you got enough outlets in there, Chad? I got a machine shop, Ed, and I tell you, there is absolutely nothing more frustrating than having to run a drop cord across the shop to do something. So, you know, and you're right, that doesn't mean I'm going to use them all at once, but if, you know, I want to plug an oscilloscope or a meter or a radio or a power supply, I don't have to trip over a cord in the floor. So I got 22 of them in there. I know that sounds like a lot, but I use, but you know, three or four of them at a time. But I don't have to worry about it. You know, I can cut my electrical cord short if I want to, and keep them from piling up. I mean, I've put a lot of thought into it. I'm comfortable with it.
Particularly one on the floor here. And then I found something at Lowe's, which is a strip, a power strip, that has, I think it's 10 plugs in it. And the plugs are arranged so they are horizontal to the strip. Or, I mean, not horizontal, but perpendicular to the strip. Because I've run into these gadgets where you plug in something and it interferes with the one next to it. Now, this one let me put those little power supplies in, and they're up and down next to each other rather than pointing at each other. I'm not sure if I'm clear on that, but something like that might be handy because it's easy to put on the wall next to where you are going to have a bunch of things to plug in but not draw that much power over.
You know exactly what you're saying. Just those little bricks that you know charge your phone with or whatnot. Yeah, this is kind of spatially get you know in the way of one another. You have to move to the next outlet. You know, I'm sitting here looking at that in the ham shack now. It's frustrating. So it's the little things like that. And you know, that kind of stuff takes a lot of time to you know figure that out or you know. I noticed today I was at Lowe's getting receptacles, or yesterday, and I noticed that a couple of the receptacles had some dust on them, and their sockets were turned, you know, 90 degrees, a weird looking thing, and I got to thinking, and I thought, well, hey, you know, those things would be perfect for the ham shack. You know, because it won't interfere. So I picked up a bunch of those. And, you know, the electrical guy there at Lowe's, he came over and he's wanting to know if he could help me. He's an older gentleman. And, you know, another thing he passed along to me was the back of the outlets. There's you can pay about 20 cents more for a commercial grade outlet, and they have the screw clamps on the back instead of having to form your hooks on the wire. And oh my gosh, you want to talk about a time saver? My goodness. So I paid a little extra for those, and they just make things so much faster. And I got the outlets positioned the way I want to, so I'm kind of looking forward to plugging in my first item when I get the power out there.
Code requirements are there, but they're changing. I think for the new construction for electrical switches, they now want non-sparking switches. Of course, if we're going to get rid of all the natural gas, it won't make any difference. But the new construction, they want non-sparking so it won't set off a gas fire over.
Well, when we built the house 15, 16 years ago, we did maybe longer. I can't remember. We had a round and round with the inspector. I mean, my goodness. He came out here and failed me on electrical twice. First time he failed because we did not have a dedicated iron outlet in the laundry room. One outlet on one breaker, 15-amp breaker that's dedicated just for the iron. And he showed me in the code book. It was in the book. And, I went round and round and with him. And, I can't remember what it was. Something, GFCI something. I forget. But, I mean, there's a lot to it. But, anyway. Well, Ed, let me get on. I'm starting to show my tire a little bit, and I appreciate the advice, and I'll give you an update. I'll send you some pictures when I get to that point.
Appreciate that. Could probably learn a lot from that standpoint. I'm going to go through some of my files. I may send you a couple more emails with stuff on grounding and maybe a couple more pictures to give you some ideas. The other thing, I did a lot of search on the web for grounding. Didn't look that much for Radio Shacks, but that might be another source for ideas. Over.
And Ed, you said Radio Shack.
Do a search on the web for Radio Shacks and see what other people have done as far as setting up. And Wyman has a book called the, let's see what it's called. I think it's called the Wyman that they sent me when I got stuff. It's called Wirebook. This is Wirebook 5. They've got a whole bunch of stuff about wires, sizes, connections, antennas, all kinds of stuff. So you might ask them about that also. It's, let's see, it's put out by November 8th, Uniform Golf. Over.
Right, book. I do. I have it down there in the shop. So I'll pull it out and take a look at it. But anyway, I'm going to say 73's Ed. I'll make one more call, and I'm gonna go ahead and sign off for tonight, try to get a little bit of rest, get back at it tomorrow. So 73's to you, bud, and I appreciate the advice. All right, any additional stations, Alpha through Zulu, please call KO4NUE. Heard. Please stand by for my net report. KO4NUE, I can't seem to get the system to take my net report, so I'll send Dave an email for that. We had 63 check-ins tonight and one piece of traffic. So with that, I'll go ahead and close out for tonight. I'll now return repeaters back to normal amateur use, 73s to all, and it's been a true pleasure to be your net controller tonight. This is KO4NUE, 73s, I'm clear.
NUE N4JBM.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, I was just going to let you know, sitting here under my shack is an SDS Max drill with a ground post driver on it. If you need to use it, just let me know.
Oh, man, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I'll be giving you a holler, bud.
And if you need any help with the bird's mouth or rafters, let me know. I'm quite used to drawing them out. I can make you a template if you need it.
Yep, I've made me a jig so I could just lay them in there and build them. And that worked out really well. But the last one, it was at the end of the day, and I got in a hurry. And just did not cut it deep enough, and it's still not exactly the way I want it, but I'm gonna have to, you know, let it go. It sheds water, and that's, you know, hey, at some point it just becomes character, right?
I was taught if I'm doing something for myself, I'm just building the box the piano goes in, not the piano itself.
I get it. I get it. That's good. I remember that, Jerry. All right, bud, I'll give you a holler. But I appreciate it. And if anything I can do to help you, let me know. And I'll talk at you later. 73, bud, I'm clear.
Clear.